Good to see you, yes.
Where's your note right there? This is my lesson, I can't get this one. And you can help, I just haven't passed them off yet.
Would you like me to?
Okay. And here, this is for you. So we tell the kids, you know, be you, do you, I mean, we hear it said, be you, do you. Have pride in yourself, be all you can be. But we know that it's only by the grace of God that we draw breath, amen?
Amen.
So I don't want anybody to come back and say, this said this and this said that, it's just a little trinket. I want to make it clear that my belief is in the God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Okay, if you're from the same area, if you could share, who's missing one of these?
Your sister.
And it's only by God's hand that we draw
breath.
I have 20 handouts.
Oh yeah.
So if you're from the same chapter, please share. Or I mean the same club, please share. Here's some more right here.
Some more here.
What happened to lay people? Lay people miss. You had one, good. And one to spare. Good. Sir, would you mind opening us in prayer?
Father God, we come before you, Lord, in a grateful heart, Father God. Pray that you prepare our hearts and our minds and help us to retain what we learned today, Father God. What you have prepared for us, Father God. We thank you for your blessings, for your grace and your love. Just do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. You've all had a favorite teacher.
Yes.
Yes? Either in Sunday school or regular school. Okay. Could somebody, just a few hands, tell me something that you liked about, what made you like that teacher? Yes.
One of my favorite teachers was my Christian Release Time teacher because she gave hugs.
Aww. And give hugs some more.
Yeah.
Okay, we won't get into that. That was for the big class.
Yeah.
What else?
I had a teacher who was actually my art teacher, mm-hmm. and she thought I was good. I probably wasn't, but she treated me like I was a good artist.
Oh, good. And you probably are. What else?
You know what? Even though she had rules and I didn't want to follow them, I didn't appreciate it until I wasn't going to be up under her rule.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. So rules are good.
Yeah.
We just don't know. We don't know if we're going to have to. We're breaking the rules. Yeah. Who else? Anybody else?
Yeah, I have one. In high school, I was in band, so my music teacher, even though the band was very structured and we worked hard, we were able to be creative and it was fun all working together. So it was just a great experience.
Sweet. I had my. In high school, I took office classes, you know, to be secretary. And our typing teacher had us type to Sam Cooke.
Mm.
So I have appreciation for Sam Cooke. And I was a very good typer. Because the songs got faster and faster. But she had us typing to music.
So, great idea.
Yeah, so much like the music, probably not as you were playing the music. I was just listening. Okay, so we are teachers that touch lives. So what do you think it was, what it takes to be the kind of teacher that touches lives?
Teachers that are loving.
Loving, okay. What else?
Caring.
Caring. Anything else?
Patient.
Patient? Oh gosh, yes. What else?
Believes in you.
Yeah, believes in you. Right. Good. Very good.
A good listener.
Good listener.
Compassionate.
Compassionate, yes. Anybody else?
It's a good sense of humor when things happen. And it's not just always like, oh. And just kind of laughs. So the best times in chapel is when I can laugh and the kids just do something, you know, funny or ridiculous or goof, and then we all just crack up because it just makes it fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very good. You want to be that teacher that touched lives. It's easier said than done. Amen?
Yes.
Well, what does it take? What is a teacher? What is teaching, and what does it mean to be a Christian educator? So we have some definitions. So we're going to read them together, because some of them are long. And then we'll go through that. So training or teaching, read it with me. Definition. Training or teaching is the process by which the behavior of one person is changed into conformity with a standard exemplified by another. Wow, that's a long one, isn't it? What does that mean? That means that somebody is the example, and they're going to model that example for someone else, and they're going to draw from it. Right? Do you think that's a good explanation of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're the model, and the children are going to draw from our example, right? Christian educator. But Webster says to impart knowledge or skill to cause to learn by what?
Example
or experience. Again, that model. And so we're going to give it a combination. Teaching is a process designed to change the knowledge, skill, and behavior of the learner as a result of the example or experience of the teacher. It all says the same thing, right? We are, again, the example. And our desire, our heart is to help them change their behavior. Can we change anybody's behavior?
Nope.
No.
Can we control anybody?
Nope.
We cannot. The best we can do is manage. Manage, not making ourselves. But we cannot control anybody. So when people say, I can't control my class. That's right, you can't. I can't control my children. That's right. Impossible. But we know one who has all things in their hand, right? And that's our Lord. So what does the Bible say? What does God say? If someone can look up Deuteronomy 6, 5, and 7, and then someone else, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. And everybody got a handout, right? Did everybody get a handout? Okay. Because we're going to read a little something together. Once, who's going to get those verses out? And then Leviticus 11:44. Matthew 28:18-20. Hand up.
Hand up.
There you go. Did you get a bookmark? Did you get one of these?
I guess not. I didn't know you had one.
That's okay. Okay, so Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. Anybody? Any takers?
That's what I'm looking for.
You shall love, what? Do you want me to read?
Yes.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them with your, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
Okay, so when are we supposed to talk to the children about the Lord?
All the time.
That's it. That's what it breaks down to. And then Matthew. Who has Matthew 28? I'm trying to set my timer so that when they come.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
How long?
Forever.
Forever. The world and then beyond, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's read this together. Teaching is from the heart, not the head. Do you have that in your handout?
Yes.
Okay. Let's read that together.
Teaching is looking, listening, learning, loving, and responding, loving and reaching. To every child who lives, laughs, and loves within our lives.
Amen. So what does God say about teaching?
Teaching is loving, listening.
Loving, listening. He says to do it all the time.
Yep.
When you're walking, you're sitting, you're lying down. When you get up, when you lay down. So, how does that apply for us? I heard the other day on YouTube, something I was listening to, it said, before your feet hit the ground. Mm-hmm. That means when you open your eyes. Mm-hmm. I know I sit up and put my feet down. Oh, Lord. I don't know if that constitutes a prayer, but no. I'm trying to rock myself to get up all the way up. But maybe before I put my feet down, then it'll be easier to get up. So I'll try that one. Just a thought. How often this is a question just for ourselves. How often are we remiss in praying before we get up and get going? Mm-hmm. How often do we remember to pray for our teaching before we're teaching, mm-hmm, or before we're studying? How often do we remember to pray for those children by name, by face? How are we, and this is just for yourselves, because this is hitting on me too, are we remembering them before the Lord? Remembering ourselves before the Lord, other than, help me. We get busy on the day-to-day. We get busy. It's not just, don't feel isolated. Don't allow yourself to be isolated. It's not just you. Don't be afraid to admit it. Mm-hmm. Lord, it's not a secret from God. Mm-hmm. Lord, I haven't this. I haven't that. Help me. Forgive me. Help me to do better. Right? Does he want to? Does God want to help us in this?
Yes,
absolutely. Is he so shocked when you tell him? When you admit something? No, he's not. He's not shocked. He's not surprised. If he knew all our days in a book before we were born,
right,
it's not a surprise to him. But what does he desire from us? He desires to our inmost, right? He wants us to share with him what's in us. You know, we say, I have it in my heart. I put it in my heart. We know the heart is deceitful and wicked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is it my heart? Is it my mouth? Is it my brain? I don't know. That's where our Lord comes in, to dig in there. But we have to allow that. We have to allow him to get in there and dig some roots out, some seeds out. My husband plants tomatoes every year. And strawberries. Tomatoes over here, strawberries over here. But he pulls them all up and they still grow back. Little bigger ones, cherry tomatoes, grape tomatoes, end up like this. Where'd those come from? My point I'm getting at is that whatever we've asked the Lord to dig out, we have to keep asking him. I mean, not that he's not going to do it the first time, but we can't let time go by and not address that. Ask the Lord to look in there and is there any wicked way left up inside of me?
Amen.
It's through that we will grow as teachers. It's through that we will grow as children of God. It's through that men and women. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing is hidden from him. He's called us to this service. He's called us to this work. He's called us to this ministry. He's given us the privilege.
Yes.
And we have obediently said, yes, Lord, here I am. And he wants all of it. So continue on. You're all doing the ministry that God has called you to do. You're growing in it. You're learning from one week to the next. Continue to grow deep. And then deeper. Okay? Leviticus 11:44. The Bible tells us to be holy, for I am holy. Holy. Does that mean we're going to be perfect?
No.
Not till glory. Not until glory. But for now, he wants us to seek him. And we've already gone through that. 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, be changed into the same image. He created us in his image. He's walking alongside us for that image. He wants us to continue in that same image. Be changed, he says. 2 Timothy 3:17, he says, be equipped. Be complete, thoroughly equipped. Partly equipped?
Thoroughly.
Does that mean just going to conferences, just going to classes? No, that means that personal one-on-one time that you're spending with the Lord outside of preparation. And then in your time of preparation, read your scriptures before you read your teacher's manual. Not the night before, not the morning of. Give yourself a week, because God wants to make those changes in you so that he can minister to those children through you. But we have to start from the beginning. Each day we have to start from the beginning before we set our feet on the ground. Oh Lord, here I am, Lord. What's that little children's song I wake up singing it sometimes? It's me, oh Lord, yes. Standing in the need of prayer. And it's only me and him there, so, Lord, that Bible says that he is making intercession for us, amen? Mm-hmm. And so I'm letting him know right there, because some days are better than other days. And we all have that. Sometimes our families are easier to deal with than other days. Our troubles, the Bible says we will have troubles. And some days those are easier than other days. Sometimes we just don't sleep well. So we need to seek out, let the Lord know, I need help today. Yeah. I'm not feeling like studying. Oh, I know this story. I can
wing it.
Okay. I can do this. Okay. And yeah, we could. But how much more by the power of the Holy Spirit? How much more? So don't wing it, ladies. Friends, seek the Lord. Bible tells us, seek him while he may be found. Amen?
Yes.
And we're seeking him for the children. That's a very high calling. We don't want to take it lightly. That's why we want to be praying for those children. I know nowadays it's hard to take pictures of them. We have, for us at Child Evangelism, we have permission slips that say, yes, they can come to Bible Club, and yes, we can take their photo. So we encourage teachers to make a book with their name, maybe with their pet, you know, little things that you're finding out about your children each week. Go back and write it in that book so that you know a little bit about it, so that you can interact with that child. How's your dog? I have a cat. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. A cat. you know something to have fun with them, something where they're like, oh, they know that. It's a small thing to us, but it's a big thing to the children. Pray for your children. Amen. Even if it's writing their name, give them a page, write their name. We use those composition notebooks. Mm-hmm. And then I encourage the teachers to write a little something that you know about them. And if not every week, you don't want to sound like you're interviewing the child or interrogating them, but as you're interacting with them, and you learn a little bit something each week. About maybe if you have a class of 20, you get to interact with maybe 5, right? Maybe 4. However many it is, it's the number. No, it's the time that you're spending with that child, right? Be equipped. Be formed in Christ. and be conformed. What's the difference of those two? Be formed in Christ and be conformed. To me, it sounds like formed is like molded, like when you're molding something. So we want to be molded in the image. Is it warm in here?
No.
No, it's just me. And be conformed and be in the image of Christ. Be mature. Help me with that one. What does it mean to be mature? Is it just when you get older in the Lord that you're mature?
No.
Is
it wise?
Pardon?
To be wise.
To be wise, okay. My 7-year-old said it was wise is to knowing what to do and then doing it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me go sit down. Now, mature is, we need to be prepared that we're not learning the first things ourselves. Mm-hmm. That we can teach the children beyond just the first things. Yeah. And being able to do them, like you said, be wise, be doing it. The goal is to teach the word and to realize that the Holy Spirit does the work, mm-hmm. not us. But if we're not calling on help, then we are doing it in our own strength. Mm. And although our lesson may be great, at the least good, at least great in our own mind, think how much more it would have been by the power of the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have missed that example. We wouldn't have missed that connection somewhere. We wouldn't have missed that eye contact that the child who was looking for just that moment to make that little eye contact so that he can be lifted up. We won't miss those things. Not that we will be perfect, but we will be able by the Holy Spirit be stronger in our teaching. When does the teacher begin? Well, they need to realize the child's need for salvation, right? The first order of business is for us to get the child saved. I know. That's not ours. That's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But we have to do our part, and that's in the preparation and the being ready. Being ready with our shoes on, the shoes of the gospel, to share that truth, to share the facts. But again, by the Spirit. And then the other part is those Christian children, we want to discern where they are in their walk. If a child is active, can we say, oh, they're not saved. They're acting like that because they're not saved. We don't know what they're going through at home. Right. We do not know what. I ministered to children at a church for a long time, and they would come early on Sunday with their hair sticking out. I would give them breakfast. I would comb their hair. I didn't know but I would, at first it was like, oh, it's too early. I'm not fully awake. I'd get there early to get things set up, but the kids would already be sitting outside. Mm-hmm. Was their mother? Is there this? Is there that? I didn't know what they're going through at home. They were sleeping in the closet. And as soon as the daylight came, they were running to the church because they wanted to see me because I was giving them love. When I learned that, that was a whole eye-opening, because at first I was just looking at them like, yay. and that's also when I learned, don't leave home before your coffee, because you may not get that coffee once you get there. But we don't know what those children are going through, you know? And they're loving, they loved me. They wanted to be with me. Not because of me, I'm sure, because I'm not that a great person or very nice, but it was because of Jesus. It was the Jesus that we want to learn about God. We want to learn about Jesus. Teacher, tell us about Jesus. It's like, okay, I get it. You know, it took me a while to get it. I was, I got it. Just because they're not behaving doesn't mean they're not saved.
Right now.
just because they are doing really well does not mean they're saved. It's only God that knows if they are or not. Only He knows the details of each child. Ours is to love them, minister to them, encourage them, and help them grow. Amen?
Amen.
Where am I? Children need change. Their need for change. Give me a second here. And discern where the child is in their walk. We talked about that already. Their changes in maturity. Because they know all the verses doesn't mean that they're mature in the Lord. It means that they gotta have a good memory.
Right.
Or that they want to please you.
Right.
So that's where the interacting is important. That you're able to talk to them. Yeah, I know you can't talk to all the children every week. But do what you can. Not talking to your neighbor or your co-teacher. The time for meeting and arranging for next time is after all the children are gone. Right then, whatever, if there's one last child, make it those children your priority. And I know you know all this. It's a reminder. And it's even a reminder for myself when I'm preparing for these. Desire to grow. We want to see the children grow. And we should be growing along the way as well, right?
Right.
We should be growing in the lessons, in the material, in the facts, in the truth of the scriptures. Yeah, it's not just us. That was that mature. I know that. Serve. Realize changes. Desire for them that they would desire to change, to grow, to serve, to conform to God's will. Could someone look up Romans 8:29? Sonia with the Bible app.
Okay.
Romans 8:29.
29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
The Bible tells us that, we need to realize that the maturing will take a lifetime, and we've talked about that. The child will receive input from many people, and they will face a variety of life-changing experiences. Some good, some not so good. Especially now, even in school, the things that are coming out that the teachers are required to teach, they're learning so many things that are contrary to what the Bible is teaches us. So be prepared for those questions. You need to know your truth. You need to know where to find them so that you can show the children in the Bible. We don't want to answer them off the top of our head or with our opinion. It's better if we show them what God's Word says. It's God's Word that will stick. It's God's Word that has power. I like to think that I can yield a little power, but the truth is, no. I could be a comedian because when I tell people what to do, they laugh. But God's Word, if I'm showing them in God's Word, then that's different, right? The importance of a teacher, Philippians 4:9 says, be a teacher of God's Word. We want to, again, like we've said, we want to get discern where the child is in their walk. And Philippians 4:9 gives insight. He says, do what you've seen in me. Because the child has no one else to teach him God's word, often the teacher stands between the child and the voice of God. And we talked about that. Children love their teacher. They love their teacher's Bible. They love their teacher's God. All the while, we're pointing them to God. But the truth is, they love their teacher first. Like those children that came to see, they came to the church early. Yes, they wanted Jesus, but they wanted to see me. They would throw their little arms around me. If I could have half of what I that was back then, if I could have that every now and again, oh, how richer my life would be. Maybe the child has no one else to teach him about God. The teacher's life and personality are key to Christian teaching. A teacher is one from whom, through whom, and with whom pupils learn. The children learn from. Single most important factor that influences learning is the life and personality of the teacher. It's going back to the teacher. Teachers that touch lives. The teacher may teach a little by what he says, he teaches more by what he does, but most of all, by what he is. Who are you, Christian? You are that child of God, called. As Christian teachers, we have a divine teacher. We are motivated by our Christian action and for proper principles and methods of achieving the results. The results are what? That the children would know Christ. Our methods, they vary, but they all go back to what? Our main teacher. Our main textbook,
yes,
right, is the Bible. If any time you read anything in a teacher's manual that is contrary to the Bible, our instructions for life, guess, think again. Think about the material you're using and do not teach it. Do not teach if it's one line. You don't have to teach that one line. And bring it to somebody's attention. It might have just been something that slipped through. But the Bible is your first source. You want to remember to read your scriptures. Now, I might have said this at the beginning. Read your scriptures before you open your teacher's manual. Essential. Read the scriptures 2-3 times. The scriptures that you're going to be teaching on before you open your teacher's manual. Then your teacher's manual.
Did I go the wrong way?
It's a privilege.
Yes.
Did I go the wrong way?
No.
It's a privilege to be called teacher. Not everyone can be called teacher. And it's a great responsibility that we cannot take lightly. We cannot take it lightly. That's why we can't wait till the last to prepare. We can't, so many other things we'll try to take precedence over, and we can't let it. If we've committed to this, if we've been called to this, if we have accepted that privilege, we have to be ready. We have to give our very best. Be confident in Christ. Be confident in the work that God's going to do. More often than not, when I ask somebody, hey, would you like to help at a Good News Club? Oh, I'm not ready for that.
Right.
I'm not prepared for that.
Right.
I'm not a whole list of reasons. My question was, do you want to? We have to have our confidence is in Christ, right? We have to have that confidence in Christ. Teaching is a responsibility. And I think there's some read-alongs here. And great responsibility to learn, to discern, needs. Are you there?
Yes.
To live the lessons. Responsibility to be a leader, a learner, and a listener.
Yes.
It's a responsibility to depend completely upon the Holy Spirit for His enabling. Whose?
To be true.
The Holy Spirit. That's right. So when we say, no, I can't, no, I haven't, no, I don't know how, no. Those are excuses. We have to decide for ourselves what we're willing to give God and how much we're willing to give God. We can't point to somebody else. Let me say this. You can't say, you're not trusting God. You're not trusting God. No, that's not our call. They maybe should have said, I don't have time, which is different than, I don't know how. So we're not to point fingers, okay? And I'm not pointing finger at you. anything that I'm sharing with you, I've already been convicted of it for the last 3 weeks. So if I get off on a tangent, it's because that's where I got busted the most. The requirements for us is our assurance of salvation. We have to know that we are children of God. Okay. We went, I teach Christian Youth in Action in the summertime, children's, it is a Bible training school to teach the five-day club, to train summer missionary youth to teach Bible clubs in homes. Okay. And there, we've had two teenagers in the last 2 years, that's 1 year, that came to teach that had not received Christ. One was a pastor's daughter, 16 years old. So just because they've been going to church doesn't necessarily mean they are saved. We got to remember that. I've met adults who have said, you know, I was sat in the class and we were teaching the invitation, how to give an invitation. And she said, I don't think I've ever done this before. And I'm thinking, you haven't given an invitation? Okay, well, sit down, we'll show you. I'm ready to show them how. But no, they had not received Christ. They had not received an invitation to receive Christ. And they were a grown person that had gone to church for many, many years. So you can't assume. We want to give the invitation. We want to give the full message of salvation. We want to give what God is showing us to give. But we can't do that unless we're prepared, right? We want to have a positive attitude. Oh, how the children will stir up the dust when we do not have a positive attitude. We will not have that saintly posture or tone. And it begins with us. We need to be teachable, enthusiastic, approachable. Can the children come to you? If you have, if somebody comes to you with a big problem, be wise in your response. Be wise in your response. You may not be able to give them that answer right then. Pray with them. Pray with them. Because God, they can, when they hear you addressing their problem to Jesus, they are going to be stronger. And next time, hopefully, they will remember to take their problem first to Jesus. We have to be that example. Be consecrated. We need to be consecrated ourselves before we can teach the children how to be consecrated. Separated for God. Honest. Honest with what? Honest with who we are. Honest of what we have inside of here that needs addressing. Honest with our abilities. If we're honest with our abilities, we'll recognize that maybe we didn't study enough, or we didn't spend enough time in prayer, or we need to go to a release time conference. We need to be honest with the children as well, of the truth of the gospel. We need to be enduring. It's not easy peasy. It's not easy being called teacher, and we know that we will stand before the Lord and give an account of how and who we are. We need to be enduring. We need to be long-suffering. We need to be ready and sensitive. Sensitive to the children, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Sensitive. Teachable, read it with me. Teachable, enthusiastic, approachable, consecrated, honest, enduring, ready, sensitive. Our primary goals are to exalt and magnify the Lord Jesus in all that we do and who we are. And the words that come out of our mouth and the tone that it comes out with, how we touch the children. Days gone by when people used to take the children out the door, right? And some people still do it. As director, I hear of it. That's not acceptable anymore. Those hands are the hands of God. God's hands, when they're looking at you, as the voice that is sharing them God's with them God's love, then those hands too need to be gentle, need to be loving and affirming. Win each child to Christ. Guide in systematic Bible study. So we're teaching them along the way. Train Christians to reach children. Inviting others, other adults to come alongside. Come and join the fun. Don't keep all that fun to yourselves. Invite others to join you. Teenagers. Teenagers. Invite the teenagers to participate, that they would learn early to share Jesus' love. We have, going back to the youth training schools, some of them just cry. Oh, they're away from home for the first time. It's not, it's intensive. It's not Bible camp. It is intensive training. And we get them up early. At 7 o'clock, we're at breakfast. 6:30, you already need to have done devotions. And then the day starts until about 10:30. And so it's intense. And they're crying. Oh, I think I'm sick. And I'm the dean of women. So many a days I have to go and, okay, be sick in the cafeteria. Go be sick at your spot at the in class. And then by the end of the week, oh, I love it. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back forever. They're afraid. Train the children. Train others to reach children for Christ. They may be a little bit nervous at first. Even adults are nervous at first. Even I get a little butterflies when I still have to teach more children than adults. Because the children will tell you how you did. And give glory to God. Always giving glory to God. Sister, brother, we are privileged to be called teachers. Give it your full attention. Give it your full heart. Give it all that you have. It will come back tenfold, even twentyfold, in so many different ways. And there's nothing like it when the children come to, I'm so glad you're here. When they tell you, I'm so glad you're here. Because they know that you're bringing to them the true word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us. You've saved us. You're building us up. You're encouraging us, Lord. We want to be teachers that touch lives. We want to be teachers that are remembered for the love that we shared, the love that we showed. I ask for now for each teacher, Lord, as we take a couple of minutes to just sit quietly and reflect and seek you, Father. I pray for them, and help me to remember to pray for them, Lord. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's take 1 minute. I will set you on the time. Let's take a minute to pray that the Lord will strengthen you to be a teacher that touches lives. Father, thank you that there is no one more perfect, more wonderful than you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go with God, my sister. My
thank you.
Thank you for sitting in our class.
Teachers, I'm going to go to the next meeting. Yes, I'm going to 30 hours.
Officially, that is.
Oh, yeah, I need to.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Otherwise, I'd be out of a job.
Just for especially, you know, we try to manage. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
yes.
I just probably look different.
You know your personality.
Oh, thank you.
It really stands out nicely.
Oh, nicely. Yeah, thank you. Nicely. I was waiting for that part.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great teaching.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What a funny day.
A funny day.
Yep, it was a funny day. Rip your pants. Oh, coffee.
You had a funny day.
I had a funny day. I ate the things and not. A funny day.
What is this? Didn't waste any time, huh?
I said.
Yeah, but it happened here and that.
I have a timer.
Oh, I'm aggressive.
I set a timer for 5 minutes short. So then I have 5 minutes to wrap up. We'll think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make your job easy. Also, you scared me. No, I'm just kidding.
Just kidding.
You know, there's no reason to be afraid of me. Yeah.